This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 on the evening edition. It's a very rainy Friday. You're with Kelvin and Hezriel. And I guess for our first story, looking outside, you know, we're trying to take you to a different place. Imagine it's sunny outside. You're at a marine park swimming alongside a dolphin. Except it's not a real dolphin. It's a robot. But it looks, moves, and interacts just like a real one. And this could soon become a reality as a New Zealand company, Edge Innovations, is redefining marine parks through AI and animatronics.
Yeah, so designer Roger Holzberg told The Guardian this will help address ethical concerns while allowing people to interact with animals. Because in general, animal attractions have always been a contentious topic. While zoos have been used for conservation, for instance, there's also the moral question of keeping wild animals captive, their issues of space, their dignity, and their mental health.
That's right. And in countries like the US, the negative effects of this have made frequent headlines. In some marine parks, for instance, experts found that captivity has caused killer whales to go mad, to the point that they've injured or killed their trainers.
So in light of all this, we thought we'd look at whether this tech breakthrough could help reshape animal attractions in general. Beyond marine parks, what could future zoos look like, for instance? And could the experience be just as enjoyable and educational, if not more?
So looking back at these robot dolphins, they're not exactly cheap. Just one unit costs around $26 million. But the company's selling points are that, well, this is sustainable, they're safe, and it's profitable. Because over a long period of time, compared to keeping a live dolphin, as their lifespans are a bit shorter than the robotic ones, you can end up earning a lot more over time.
That's right. And according to The Guardian, the New Zealand company has already done tests on this, and the audience wasn't able to tell that it wasn't actually a real dolphin. So that'll be interesting if people would pay for this attraction in the future, and I guess how that would just change the overall dynamics and what it means to go to the zoo, right? To purposefully go see fake animals, essentially.
Yeah, that's been a struggle for a lot of people who do like going to zoos, especially if you're more environmentally aware, environmentally concerned. Mm-hmm. That, well, what is the purpose of this zoo, right? Is it purely just for profit making, or does it mostly function on a purpose to drive conservation as well as to do research and to rehabilitate certain kinds of animals before they are let out? Or, you know, some zoos also function in a way, or well, conservation centers, they function in a way where they do exactly that, right? The animal is perhaps too harmed or injured from activities right, linked to animal trafficking, and they cannot be reintegrated back into the wild.
Yeah, and I guess I'm also wondering what implications this has for zoos. You know, does it mean that animal conservation will take place only in animal reserves? How will they be made accessible to the public? Will it just be sort of like, you know, an open safari concept? Do countries have the space to commit, you know, our land resources to this, particularly here in Malaysia? So it'll be an interesting configuration if all of a sudden one day we wake up and zoos are no longer, you know, with real animals, just robots.
You can let us know, how would you feel about an experience like this? Would you go to zoos mostly or entirely made up of robotic animals, this time particularly in China, marine parks and aquariums with robotic dolphins? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Andrew Sebastian, founder and chief executive officer of Ecotourism and Conservation Society in Malaysia, for his thoughts on the story. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:12. You're with Kelvin and Hezriel on the evening edition, and we are talking about, well, a soon-to-be a situation, I guess, where marine parks will soon not feature real animals, but ones replaced by animatronics, AI-based ones, and, well, robotic animals, essentially.
But very lifelike, apparently.
Very lifelike, and a test done by this company called Edge Innovations has just found that, well, people just weren't able to tell it apart from a real dolphin, but actually it's a person controlling it behind the scenes.
That's right.
Dolphins can last up to 10 hours on a single charge. So you can let us know if you would visit a zoo, maybe filled with robotic animals as opposed to live ones. Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to Andrew Sebastian, founder and CEO of EcoMai, or Ecotourism and Conservation Society Malaysia. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Yeah, so what's your take on having animatronic animals in zoos and aquariums?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? And you've got to say to yourself, it will be so smart that it can develop all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so I think it's a bit of a balancing act. Depends on the species and so on, because a lot of zoos, a lot of animal facilities are finding it tough to keep the whole, to maintain animals, yeah? And a lot of people who go to zoos, and some animals, they're just sleeping or they're just lying down behind a bush or behind a branch, you know? And they don't get to see, you know, they don't see stuff walking, even in a zoo, yeah? So I think it's a good thing, because at the end of the day, nature will still, if we protect our nature out there, people still have a lot of the real animals in the wild and in the natural surroundings. And if people can go and visit facilities that give you animal, I can't even pronounce it. So I think it's just time that, you know, the younger generation will be much more interested in learning the sciences, the mechanics behind robotics. And this will be an add-on to experiences, or whether you want to see something really in the wild, whether you want to see a robot that's an animal. And I would say the one of the plus points about this is that with robotics and with beautiful animations, which I'm sure it will be done or being done right now in China, the whole feature of, let's say, a tiger, you know, a whole feature about a tiger, about how it runs, how it feeds, you know, and all that can be featured, and we can be educated about that all in one go, yeah. As opposed to going to a zoo and seeing an animal poorly fed and poorly maintained, and he's just lying there doing nothing, you know. And people come back and they learn nothing about the lion or the tiger, yeah. So I would think it's a great thing. It gives a modern man. And younger kids coming up these days who are not so thrilled to walk in a hot sun, you know, not so thrilled to have something sleeping in an enclosure, but they are thrilled to know, wow, look at robotics, you know, this is the future, right? So I think we have to embrace it. It's going to happen whether we want to, and I would hope the government will spend more time protecting the wild creatures in the wild and investing in things like this, yes.
Now, $26 million sounds like a lot of money to pay for one animatronic animal. But do you think that the benefits outweigh the cost in the long run, especially when it comes to maintenance costs?
Yes, the cost of maintaining a big cats and tigers. Zookeepers will tell you this. You know, it's not cheap. You know, to maintain. Yeah. And you know, the money that we can save from this, and we put back into hiring wildlife wardens out there to protect our wildlife. I think there's money better.
So these particular animal robots sound like they would look, feel, and even weigh like the real thing. So if done properly, do you see this, you know, as the solution to sustainable animal attractions?
Well, it's just one. I think I see it as a tool. I see it as a tool where we can educate the young and the old as well about animals and behavior patterns and so on. And get people excited about science and physics and so on, yeah, electronics and so on, and computers, of course, yeah. But I think it's also where we get to appreciate that it's a wild thing, swimming out there in the Yangtze or swimming somewhere in China, or there's this beautiful tiger walking around in the jungles of America, you know. I think it's a good match. It's a good balancing act. People have options now, yeah.
And how might a tech innovation like this pave the way for more interesting ecotourist attractions?
Well, again, if it creates a lot of people don't. Well, a lot of people I know as well have not even seen, let's say, elephant, an Asian elephant in a while. Although there's a lot of elephants in Asia, yeah. So if a facility can feature a robotic elephant, something that will get them interested, you know, like, wow, I never knew. So cool things about his elephant, you know, and they know about A, B, and C, and D, you know. And at the end of the presentation, they tell us that the elephant actually found in our forest in Malaysia. I didn't know. I thought it's only in Africa. So if you create the awareness, create the interest, then people will say, okay, my son, why don't we go, let's travel to Kenyir or Taman Negara and take a safari and hopefully try to see an elephant, a wild elephant, yeah? So I think it really is enough for at least, especially the younger generations.
Hmm. And what do you think is the current public sentiment when it comes to, you know, the zoos and aquariums right now? Is there a demand for ethical zoos in the country?
Yes. Yes, there's more and more demands. People are getting more and more sensitive, which they should be, about how animals are kept in the wild. Wild animals do not do really well in captivity. Yeah, not a lot of species can do really, really well. So more and more civil society, as they go to these animal enclosures, they will demand, they will question, you know, is the animal being fed well? You know, why does it look sickly? You know, people will start questioning, you know, and more all the zoos and animal holding facilities will have to answer, will have to give information about the species and how they have taken a lot of effort to make sure they are comfortable, you know. But more and more people are going to question them, and I think the future they have to embrace that, you know, it has to be done in a different way.
Right. And on that note, do you think there are other tech or non-tech solutions that could go towards solving the current issues that we have with animal attractions?
Yes, of course, of course. Well, robotics aside, I think wildlife attractions, they are using a lot of new technology that's coming up, you know. So I think there's so much more ideas that's going to come up in the next 5-10 years that will make this an interesting tourist product for us, interesting learning product for people to learn and get aware. So I'm really hopeful, and I know whether we like it or not, these things are going to happen, you know, and people are going to have a lot of options. And I do hope at some point they'll say, hey, at the end of the day, let's get out there in the great outdoors and see this for ourselves, you know.
Right. And I guess looking at where Malaysia is right now, we touched on money a bit earlier on. Is, you know, how would, you know, you may not have to go too deep into specifics, but how do you think robot zoos could be implemented, you know, feasibly and practically here, given that a lot of them cost, you know, a lot of money?
As a startup, the early computers were expensive, and I think the price will scale down. Will in the future will be pretty manageable for facilities, you know. So we are looking at a new at the pioneer. We're looking at the first generation robotics. It will get even better. Can you imagine that? It's going to get even better, and it's going to get even more sophisticated. And I think investment now or investment as we go along, I think will do the industry a lot of good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's going to create a whole new industry, yeah? And a whole new income streamline for people. Careers that have not been even invented today will be something that will be in demand in 5 years' time about robotics and animation.
When that time comes, Andrew, can we expect you to pivot?
I will be queuing up because I will be so curious. Because it's, and I just read about this place in China, so I'm really interested to see on check on YouTube and see how lifelike they are. You know, because it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You know. First animals, and then maybe you're going to be humans too. You know, never know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a grim thought.
Radical. And brave new world.
You can watch Elvis Presley, you know, live, you know, singing, performing, you know, why not?
Well, on that slightly scary Black Mirror-ish note, thank you so much for joining us today, Andrew.
Welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Andrew Sebastian, founder and CEO of EcoMai, or Ecotourism and Conservation Society Malaysia. You can let us know, would you visit or maybe even look forward to visiting a zoo filled with robot animals? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, before that, actually, we do also have a poll running on Twitter asking if robot animals could become the future of zoos and marine parks. Out of 68 votes so far, 38% are saying save it for Jurassic Park. 37% saying, yes, I would support it. And 25% saying, no, it won't be the same. And I think some of the comments that have come in just on that poll, this one from Praveen that says, why do we need animatronics when we can learn or see through Google, Animal Planet, Discovery Channel, and many more? We want real zoos to see them alive and to observe them in their ecosystems.
Yeah, maybe, you know, existing zoos for conservation purposes, again, could be converted to animal reserves. Who knows? And maybe that's a different sort of experience. But I was just thinking also about, you know, the realities, the possibilities of a real Jurassic Park. I think I'd have to agree with those voters.
Your dreams, those are such big dreams. All I want from a, you know, if it's an animatronic one, is probably to own like a robot dog. So I wouldn't have to be so worried about its care and quality of life.
That's true. So that I think that's a valid point. It'd be interesting. You know, I guess you'd have to make sure that it doesn't rust, you know, make sure that they're properly charged. So it's a whole different ball game. And I guess it's interesting to see how it redefines animal care.
Yeah, and you know, in other realms where it applies, you know, Raj says, why are we not already listening to robot DJs like the both of you? And well, you know, if robots one day take over our jobs, I guess I would be open to that idea. The future of the world is a bit scary in that sense, right, where so many jobs are replaceable. But yeah. I think that might be because our social support systems are just not strong enough yet. And that's why the future looks scary. But I think once we get to a place where, you know, we have basic income available as a thing to us, and we can go on to pursue other things. That might be a welcome future. But back to zoos. We also have this tweet here from Shazwana that says, zoos are a mistake of mankind, so I support this.
Yes, that's, I mean, again, there are two sides of the conversation, right? On one hand, conservation is such a real thing, and it's proven to work. And I think that there's something to be said about how that's carried out, you know, whether those animals are released back into the wild or whether they're kept captive forever. So I think there's a lot of things that are going on here.
Keep sending in your thoughts, 7733-2900. WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we are headed to some music. It is Gladys Knight with Running Out. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.